SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour two. We're about 15 minutes in, a little stacked up here. Brad Cox and Mark Cassie, obviously, with lots of horses to talk about. And Johnny D's got any number of things to talk about after a busy 5 days at Del Mar and already 3 days in to Saratoga. We'll fill out the fourth day today and be 10% into the meet. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, how the heck are you?
I'm good. We're off to a fun start, of course. It's been intense as always.
We're in your backyard now, huh?
Yeah, as it, Jay Privman.
Isn't live racing going? Isn't that great?
It is. There's as you know, when it comes to this kind of meet and. You know, you experienced that obviously for years and years at Del Mar. There's a certain frenzy to everything. I mean, because there's a constant parade of people that come to town, and they're going to be there 1 day, 2 days. They're going to be there a week, whatever. And so you want to go meet this one, and you're going to dinner plans, and it just. Fold in your work obligations, and it makes for a quick 7 weeks.
It does, and you know, even if it's somebody's in town and you want to see them, and you're just going to go find them in the grandstand, and you're texting back and forth,
yep.
And where oh yeah okay, and then you go have a beer with them or something, and you. And then there's one other guy I gotta see. He just texted me. But it's frenzy. That's a good word for it. And along the way, you're trying to cash a ticket too. By the way, you're trying to do some handicapping, and you want to visit the paddock, and you want to, you know, at Saratoga, you want to camp out under those trees for a little while and just breathe the air and relax. So it doesn't stop. It's nonstop. And I know that there was I don't know if it's true at Saratoga. I know it's true at Del Mar. Toward the end of Hollywood Park, when Hollywood Park used to run up until Del Mar, you couldn't wait to get to Del Mar. Because, obviously, for many reasons, you couldn't wait to get to Del Mar. And then once you got down there, and, of course, Del Mar was 6 days a week back then, and about... You know, the first week, everybody's so happy to be there, and it's so exciting, and the standings, everybody starts out tied for leading owner, leading trainer, leading jockey, and then the first couple of days go by, and then you have your first weekend there, which was just one day. It was Tuesday, and you'd have a barbecue, or you'd, you know, volleyball on the beach, or someone would rent jet skis, and you'd go down and do that, or whatever. And then about the third week, you're kind of thinking, when do we go home? Because you're like worn out. when do we get to go home?
Well, there is the famous line, and we know Red Smith coined the, you know, how do you get to Saratoga line. We're not sure who coined the, it's not the days at Saratoga, it's the nights. and the pub crawling and you know, those days for me are behind, but doesn't stop Toga Barbie you know, even the dinners will press into 10 o'clock, and then you get home, it's 10:30, you gotta be up the next day at 5 a.m.
And if you throw in the other things people like to do at Saratoga, one of the great things is to go out in the morning. and watch the workouts and have breakfast and meet people there and talk and
yep.
and visit friends. You know, if you're in the industry and you visit friends or an owner or you have connections, you visit the backside and you go to the barns and you talk to, you know, trainers. Okay, so let me get this straight now. I'm starting my day at 6 or 7. I'm walking all morning, coming home, maybe, you know, getting ready for the races, going back to the races, all day at the races, dinner at night, and then having a little post-dinner party. And then you want me to do this again tomorrow and again and again. It's great. It's fabulous. And, you know, if you throw in a little golf somewhere along the way, you know, you've got to start early because the races, you know, you've got to be done before the races. And yeah, it's extremely hectic. And I love it. I love it. Both Del Mar and Saratoga, you know, we enjoy. The only thing is picking winners is, I mean, well, should I say meaningful winners? Semi-formful results this weekend, pretty formful, some very formful races. But it seemed like there were some bombers that jumped up, like these pick fives and pick fours. It only takes one to ruin your day. Seems like something jumps up all the time.
That's true. Very much. Very much.
Yeah. Or in Fun in the Sun. Something jumps up and big payoff, and it moves people up the ladder. I was so glad to see Tina's name listed among the top Fun in the Sun players this week. It seems of the people I know, it seems the wives do better than the husbands in these kinds of tournaments. I don't know why, but that's the case so far.
Well, let's, you know, since it came up, let's touch on some of the races that were involved, because the stakes were involved and we can hit on it. And, you know, some of the horses that provoke decision making, Johnny, and to Tina's credit, when it came to the favorites, you know, one of the things that sequence of the 10 races Saturday, there were a couple of very strong favorites that you had to make a decision about. Do you take the short price or do you go poaching? And to her, and you, and she's quite happy to go reach for prices, but she went to town and doubled her money ultimately on, you know, in no small part on those reliable favorites.
You know, it's interesting because tournament players, and you know, you've certainly had many of them on the show, and people who follow tournament players know that the way to win a tournament is to not play favorites. I mean, you've got to look for bombs. That's the way to win. But in this type of tournament, it's a little bit different in that it's okay to take, you know, to take the intentional walk if they're going to give it to you. Take the short price favorite because you are accumulating. You know, you want to add to your total. So if you come out of the blocks with a decent total and you're mid-pack or somewhere around there after week one, that's not so bad. So, you know, while there are tremendous weekly prizes, $7,000 in weekly prizes, there's also the big prizes at the end of the season, which are four seats to the Pegasus betting championship. And that's, you know, that's really where you want to end up. So along the way, to build up your bankroll is not a bad way to go about things. You've got to at some point step out of the step out of Chalkville and find some long shots, because you know, in order to get in the top four. But you've also got to be very consistent week in and week out. The other great thing about Beat the Host, Fun in the Sun, is that, you know, everyone's going to have a bad weekend. In other words, and it's a good time to mention this week's winners, Steven Dahlbeck mutual total of $286.50 won the $4,000 prize. Kevin Mulvihill second, just a dollar behind, $285.50, $2,000 second prize. David Kay third with $267 in mutual payoffs. That's based on a $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. David Kay gets $1,000. So while there are great weekly prizes, you and I both know Stephen Dalbec is off to a great start. So is Kevin Mulvihill. They are going to have bad weeks. They're not going to run like that for 7 weeks. We know that. So, you know, even if you miss the first week, jump in for the second week because you've got a chance. It only takes, you know, it's going to take, I think, you know, it's a 7 week season. It's going to take maybe 3 good weeks and you're going to be right. You're going to be in the thick of it. Who has 3 good weeks during Saratoga and Del Mar? I mean, if you do, you know, you're doing really well. Three good Saturdays. I mean, we know the odds are against that happening.
Well, the way Del Mar's numbers are, it wasn't necessarily the case on Saturday, but you may only need, you know, one nice cap-style horse, Johnny, every couple of weeks to, you know, to sustain you. I mean, but for instance, being able to just take the money on horses like Horse Greedy in that third at Del Mar and Basilica as well. Yep. For Hollendorfer firing on all cylinders 5 days into the meet. Hollendorfer's got more wins this year than he did the whole meet last year.
Yeah, isn't that crazy how that happens to trainers? I mean, Doug O'Neill came out of the gate firing opening
still
day.
Firing.
And, yeah, still firing, yeah. And it's just strange how that works. And also, what else amazes me sometimes is how guys will be quiet, you know, at one meeting, and then you go to the next meeting, and they're on fire. It can turn around that quickly. And it has a lot to do with what they have ready to run,
sure.
The condition book. And really, it's not something as a horse player you can really identify, except the only thing you could kind of figure out is that this guy, whoever he is, Trainer X, is a very good trainer. He wins at a high percentage. He has been stale lately. He's been flat. He hasn't been winning. That's not going to continue because it never has before. So then in that case, you can then start to follow that guy because things will turn around. And from one meet to another is a great time to reset the clock. And now Doug O'Neill's case, he's just been hot for a while. He hasn't hit maybe he was slow during the, I say I'm doing this off memory now, maybe the tail end of the Santa Anita meet, he kind of maybe slowed down or had a slow Santa Anita meet maybe in my memory, but he's on fire now. And you got to ride the hot guys too. When you find out who they are, ride them until they're not hot anymore.
Well, it's unusual when you have what's gone on so far at Del Mar, where there are so many of those kinds of stories. You bring up Hollendorfer, you bring up Doug O'Neill, and John Sadler is going to come here shortly. Sadler, that was a stunning circumstance. The announcement Saturday morning that Accelerate is scratching. Now may show up here. We'll find out if there's any added news about Accelerate coming to the Whitney. And then he stretches out Catalina Cruiser, who could not have looked better, and jumps in at the quarter pole to the handicap division with a 107 buyer, winning the San Diego.
Yeah, what a What a nice embarrassment of riches for John to have, huh? And that race kind of awesome run by Catalina Cruiser, but it's a shame because in the competition, you know, I thought that originally when the races were set, I think the thought was, you know, are you going to go with Accelerate or are you going to look for another option? Because he seemed like, and then that race just, you know, it seemed like every hour it just kind of fell apart. But Catalina Cruiser, certainly visually and also on numbers, a great, a solid performance. And you know, we talk a lot, or I talk a lot about with Fun in the Sun. One of the great things about it is these are live, you're making live $10 win wagers. And one of the selling points I often push is that, you know, if you pick a couple winners, you're actually going to make money. It doesn't cost anything to play. It's free registration at expressbet.com, and you're making $10 live win wagers. So if you're correct in a couple races, and even though this weekend's races were very formful, there were I think only three double-digit winners. In this week's assortment, I believe, three or four. But anyway, if you've got $10 to win on those, even on the chalk courses, if you hit four or five of them, you've made money. You've taken a shot at $7,000, joined in a weekly chase for four seats to the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, which is worth $12,000 each, and you made money. Not a bad way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, Johnny, just a couple of minutes. I got to get Sadler in here. Some thoughts about your own action and what you came away impressed with over the opening weekend?
Well, my own action was somewhat stunted. My daughter is in town she lives in Hong Kong, so I don't get to see her very often. And she's been in town Thursday on. So I paid attention to the races, but didn't invest heavily. I think what I've noticed is horses for courses. You know, what struck me, was it yesterday? Yesterday in the Eddie Reed, it's in the Post, who, you know, has kind of, who really ran off a sensational string of races this winter, quite entertaining this winter. The whole It's in the Post adventure this winter was entertaining. And I looked at the past performances for the Eddie Reed. I thought, well, he's got to be one to consider. And he was 5-2 in the line. I looked up. He's 0-9. He hasn't been first, second, or third in 9 starts in the Del Mar Turf Course. I thought to myself, wow. If there's ever an example of a horse for course, this is one. Or a horse not for this course, this is one.
Right,
and
absolutely.
You start to see those occur, and they take money, because based off their PPs, you say this horse is he's in fine shape, the distance is good, the rider's great, the trainer's great, blah, blah. He doesn't like it here. He doesn't like this course. They can't get a hold of it or the configuration. It could be so many things. He just doesn't like it here. So you've got to, it's hard to do, but you got to go against the grain. You got to go against those kind, whether it's in Saratoga or Del Mar. If there's a lot of times you don't know. Look, if a horse is 0-1, 0-2, you can't make a statement. But if a horse who's deadly consistent, he's 0-9, first, second, and third on this course. Man, that's a big statement. And he's 5-2 on the line. Wow. You know, here's one I could draw a line through. So anyway, that's one thing that the other thing I really great to hear that you're having Drayden Van Dyke on, because, you know, but and even before this weekend, but it's nice to see him winning races. We talked about him earlier. You know, he's a Tom Proctor. Come up through the Tom Proctor farm system. He was taken under the wings of Gary Stevens and Mike Smith when he arrived at Santa Anita. And lots of jockeys get a chance to be tutored by veteran riders. Veteran riders usually are very good about tutoring young riders, and there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, they're out there with them. Right, doing a very dangerous occupation. So for a selfish reason is they want young riders to learn so that they don't have to worry about them during the race doing something stupid. So that's a very selfish reason that veteran riders take them under their wings. The other reason is because they want to give back to the game. They want to see the game improve. They want to teach young riders how to ride. So there are two reasons why they take them under their wings. But the big question for me over the years, when I see young riders come along and older riders take them on their wing, the question is, are they listening? Are they paying attention? Or is it a kid who already knows everything? And I asked, when Drayden was first around, I asked Gary Stevens, I said, Gary, is he listening? And he said, yeah, he's listening. And right away, I said, well, I have to keep my eye on this guy, this kid, because if he's listening, he's going to be okay. And you know what? He's overcome some hurdles that riders have to face. Losing the bug is hurdle number one. Hurdle number two is when you have a serious, hurdle number two is after you lose the bug, you lose your business. And you've got to kind of start over. The other one is when you have a serious fall. How do you react to a serious spill? Do you come back and still have the heart that you had before? You have the aggressiveness, you have the determination that you had before. That's important. You got to look for that in young riders. And the next step is when you have a personal loss. Riders that have had family breakups, deaths in the family. And Drayden Van Dyke has kind of gone through jumped a couple of these hurdles already.
Yep.
And I love the way he sits on a horse, quiet. And if you need any evidence of him, you can go watch the Kentucky Derby and his ride on Hollendorfer's horse. I can't remember. What was his name this year? He finished fourth.
In Stilbregard.
Some people criticize that ride, but I think it was a very patient, a ride beyond this kid's years. And he reminds me, I'm not saying he's equivalent to, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying his style, his size, his quietness with his hands, the way he waits, kind of reminds me of Shoemaker. That, you know, he's not using strength. He's not trying to bull a horse. He's very quiet. And his victory in the Eddie Reed, I do have a race right, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Was, you know, that is pure patience. And that is a turf rider's gift. And that, the skill, patience, to be able to sit and sit and sit and save ground and get out and boom, that is beyond his years. So I'm really great. I'm really happy that you're having him on. And I just think that he's just a tremendous young talent.
Yeah, agreed. And really a nice kid. And not only is he winning these stakes, he's also managed to land the three hottest maiden winners of the meet as well. And Mother yesterday that performed as advertised. Roayton for Hollendorfer and Larry Best. And the opening day, Larry Best, Brill. So
yeah.
Drayden being handed horses like that says something, I mean, about what people, what the horsemen think of him.
Well, you go back. Didn't he ride Justify first time?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so here's Bob Baffert. Knows he's
yep.
got a,
likes him.
A monster. Yep. And who did he put on him? Drayden Van. Now, he took him off, and that makes sense because all of a sudden you know this is going to be too much to throw at this young kid. I'm not throwing it at him now. He's not quite, you know, let me get Mike and, you know, let me get the vet and take care of this horse. So that makes perfect sense. But Bob Baffert has enough confidence in him to put this kid on the first time out.
Johnny, first weekend is in the books, and we'll look forward to the first full week for everybody coming up next week. We'll talk to you Monday. Have fun with your daughter.
Thank you, Steve. I'm looking for a big score. Just, I know it's out there. I'm just going to cast my line and keep throwing it. Keep baiting the hook and throwing it out there.
And that's all you can do. And eventually, unless you saw the video of the grouper the other day swallowing that shark whole, that unless something comes along and at the wire like that grouper did. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I've had the grouper swallow me up too.
There you go. Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D. And should be another nice summer week ahead. Let's take a timeout a little past the bottom of the hour. We've got to get John Sadler in here and talk about his tremendous Saturday, Sunday. He sent out 8 horses, won 4 races, including the 2 stakes, and now suddenly has got another handicap horse, 4-year-old Union Rags colt, Catalina Cruiser, out of the Mineshaft mare. This is a fairish bred product, and suddenly Castoronis and John Sadler, the same way Accelerate burst on the scene last year, now they've done it again with Catalina Cruiser. We'll cruise into the second half of the morning at the races. John Sadler next, Drayden Van Dyke ahead, and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top 4 finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got 2 sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you leave, baby, I go above my head. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. How nothing you treat me and everything you say. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Please leave.
We're back at the races, about 15 to the top of the hour. Mike Beer from the Racing Forum will join us here and after the top of the hour, and we'll talk to Mike about the opening weekend and get some thoughts about the Pick Six carryover sequence now that we got the off-turf news, and you do have to make some adjustments. Race 4 and race 5 and race 9 off the turf in that Pick Six sequence. You got to make some adjustments if you were expecting Accelerate in the Pacific Classic. If you were expecting to see him on Saturday in the San Diego, Sadler and Aronis, and they are just busting out all over. Catalina Cruiser becomes the entrant and becomes the latest product of this productive owner-trainer duo. John Sadler joins us after a fabulous weekend. John, congratulations to you and to Costa and Drayden Van Dyke, who's going to join us in a little bit as well. Well done.
Thank you, Steve.
You got to tell us how this all came about and what, you know, whether this was a lurking concept, two races at 6 furlong, but a horse by Union Rags out of a mineshaft mare. There was everything to believe that he would stretch out.
Yeah, this is a horse that we've really liked. Very gifted horse. He won his first time out with a very high rating. He required a little layoff. He came back and second time out won off with a layoff and with a very high rating. And then, you know, our plan has always been to stretch him out and get him around two turns. We were looking at an allowance race on Sunday, what we call a twice other than conditioned allowance. But to protect myself, I put him in on Saturday in case the allowance race didn't fill. I kind of know what fills and doesn't fill around here, and I know that race can sometimes be tricky. So when the allowance race didn't fill for Sunday, we decided to go ahead and run him on Saturday. My fear was this being a 6-week meet, we'd wait for that race 2 or 3 weeks and have to maybe not fill again or something. And I didn't want to do that. The horse was training incredibly well. Just one great work after another. So we jumped in we jumped in the deep end of the pool and he swam just fine.
And then having drawn the rail, that was a,
That would have really driven him into the allowance race on Sunday had it filled, you know, because it's not the best post, especially for a young horse. But it worked out okay, you know. We didn't want to get him trapped down inside, you know, so I said, Drayden, you got to at least come out into the first turn, you know, in good shape so that you can see where you want to go.
Before we talk about the race and about the development of this horse and his immediate future, let's also, on parallel track, talk about Accelerate, because making this commitment, it then opens the doors to do some other things. And where are you and Costa when it comes to the leader in the handicap clubhouse?
Well, I mean, our first preference is to run the Pacific Classic. He worked very well yesterday. He's shown, you know, he's a winner the previous 2 years here at Del Mar, so that's what we're kind of looking at. I did nominate him to the Whitney when I had to take him out on Saturday. I certainly wasn't going to run those two horses against each other. There would have been no point in that. So, you know, we'll look at him this week. We'll make a plan whether it's going to be the Whitney or the Pacific Classic.
What is that strictly a determinant based on what you see from Catalina Cruiser post-race?
Well, I mean, it's all of the above, you know. It's how Accelerate is training this week. It's about the travel to New York. It's about the purses are relatively close. One's $1.2 million, one's $1 million. You know, looking at the whole big macro picture and decide what we want to do.
What about distance and how that plays into your, you know, your laying out of development toward 10 furlongs on
yeah,
Breeders'
well,
Cup Day?
He's both the distances are fine. That would be kind of, you know, he can handle a mile and eighth, a mile and a quarter now. He's doing so well. We'll just kind of, you know, I'll kind of listen to my gut, see how he, you know, listen to the horse this week, and then we'll really lay down and decide. But you know, these are good problems to have, as we say.
Back to Catalina Cruiser, and you know, clearly a 4-year-old making only a third start. There were some issues along the way, John. What delayed getting him to the races, and you know, what has to happen for him to, you know, have a series of starts uninterrupted?
Yeah, well, he just has to stay in really great shape. He was such a big horse at 2, you know, he got some shins, you know, things that can happen with young horses. And what we try to do with him, you know, is watch him really closely. And if we see something we don't like, we're going to give him the time to mature. This horse, you know, I think he runs, when we weighed him, they had the scales this winter at Santa Anita. He's like 1,250 pounds, you know. Compare that with Justify, he's like 1,160 or something. He is a great big beast of a horse. He looks like a great white shark to me. So, you know, he's had some stops and starts, but, you know, with the idea that the things, little issues he's had have not been major. So if we take good care of him and we think he's a runner, hopefully we're going to get in that reward zone right now.
Well, we've just heard John coin the term, that nickname for everybody should be using going forward with Catalina Cruiser, and that is Jaws. And, considering he's a great white, and you wouldn't want to meet a great white going out to Catalina.
Well, no, I mean, I think Costa's listening, and we got such a kick out of it. The first time he ran, he broke a step slow because he's so big, but there was like a hole in front of him, and Graydon said it looked a little tight, but he just like bullied his way through there and like bumped off another horse. I mean, you know, he could go through a wall with, you know, with his fist, you know, so he could actually, he's so powerful, he can push horses out of the way, you know, like Shaq down on the low block or you know, Charles Barkley around the rim, you know, he's a lot to handle.
Go back to the Keeneland sale, John, and how did he get picked out, and what was his development? Who handled him, and those kinds of questions?
David and Gordo picked him out, and he, you know, he works with Lane's End, so he's very familiar with the family. We like the pedigree. I like Union Rags a lot. He likes Union Rags. He stands at Lane's End, and he's out of a Farish mare. Half brother to Eagle, who's been a nice horse, handicap horse. So you look, it was that combination of you getting some zap with some Union Rags and a kind of a classic mineshaft mare. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to buy him. And he was the first crop of Union Rags, so still a little bit under the radar, I think. But so, you know, everything came together and we got him, and we loved him, and you know, now, like I said, we just had to wait it out a little bit. But horses are like that, you know. If you're watching them close and they make you wait, well, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, push on them early and get zero. Come on, that doesn't work.
Now, looking at a Benoit photo of the stretch from Saturday, and he is built like an aircraft carrier.
He's one of the best looking horses out there. And I'm, you know, I mean, anybody that's seen him in Southern California, you know, they go, wow. You know, he's kind of a wow horse to look at. And, you know, so everybody at Santa Anita knows him because he's big. He's got that big white face. And, you know, he's a beast.
Well, Catalina Cruiser establishes himself the same way Stablemate Accelerate established himself in the San Diego, and with a plum and with a big fig, matching buyers to the 107 he got going back to his allowance win going short. Let's skip. We'll come back to some of the other wins and some other topics, but let's go to yesterday and the Eddie Reed. And here's another stake winner for Kitten's Joy from Hill and Dale. Another winner for you and Drayden Van Dyke, Catapult. This for Woodford, though, Woodford Racing.
Right. That's Bill Farish from Lane's End and his buddies. They set this horse home the end of last year with the idea of, you know, giving it a little freshener and then getting him ready. And I'm fortunate enough, they decided to let me train him here in California this year. Mike Klein is instrumental in that, the ranch manager at Lane's End Farm. And if you looked at his form, I mean, he was really a huge overlay yesterday. He was lined about 8-1. You know, he was a winner at Saratoga last year. You know, he had nice New York form, so there's no reason to think, you know, he should have been that price.
It slipped through the cracks a little bit, and it's also notable that with maturity, he's now a five-year-old. He's been versatile. He can stay close, but it feels like he's more and more rateable, and you can also kind of move him around. He's been effective at a variety of turf route distances.
Yeah, the first time we ran him a mile, you know, I thought he'd win, you know, because they trained so well. He ran a really good second. He was a little rank. If you watch the video that day, he really had some trouble in the first turn, and Drayden really kind of had to grab him, and he was just too keen. But I think that really ultimately benefited him for his second race because he really settled beautifully yesterday. And, you know, he's another nice, big, strong horse. So they thought he might do well on the firmer turf that we have out here in California. They were absolutely right.
That pays off. And he's a horse that, you know, had really sniffed around some good older turf horses and stakes. And here he finds, as a fully mature horse at five, he obviously has found a home on the West Coast. A good move to send him out to you. What the obvious opportunities moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Del Mar handicap. I think there's one at the, you know, the end of the meet, a mile and 3/8. You know, if I decide to go the other way, there's the Del Mar mile at the end of the meet, which is a mile, you know. So there's, you know, we'll be looking at the turf schedule here in California and picking out what we think the best spot for him is. You know, take it one by one, but he's a cool horse. He's big and he's strong and doesn't really have any, you know, I mean, we have maybe a glip or two back east on a couple races, but other than that, looks like he runs well every time.
Well, and of course participated in the 2 mile Belmont Gold Cup last year. And that was his graded stake placing. The Baltimore Washington, not the Belmont Turf Cup, the Baltimore Washington. Part of this story, and Drayden's going to come on, John, with us, talk about the development, and we talk about development of horses, but Drayden Van Dyke, that turf course, we think about Nakatani and DeSormo and how effective they are, knowing when to move, the slingshot maneuver. Drayden Van Dyke is... There was never a doubt that he was going to shoulder his way to the top of the jockey class. I think we're witnessing it as it happens.
Yeah, he's a really good young man. You know, he was brought up with strict authoritarian supervision, and he's a good kid. And I enjoy riding him. So I'm not afraid, you know, you can see these trainers that ride Drayden, they're not afraid to put him on a good horse. He's patient, he doesn't panic, ride that very still race, which is, for a young man, is really remarkable at this point of his development.
Well, the meet is well underway now, 5 days in, John, and two graded stake wins and so many nice horses in the barn. But talk about, for a minute, Horse Greedy, who, you know, was going to be odds on, and then under Stewie Elliott went out on Saturday and got the job done.
That's a horse we claimed. You know, he had kind of every other race was a good race. On his rag numbers, we claimed him, and he ran a very good race. And, you know, I turned to Costa and I said, geez, I think he made a really good claim here. You know, he didn't have any big issues so far. So we're just, you know, we're played the game well on that one. And he probably should have won the triple bend when he was third and he didn't break. And then the other day he broke okay. And and won. I think he was maybe not quite as dynamic as the previous race, but he's going to be a nice horse for us.
Well, I've got to ask you about some young horses, too, because the maidens, you'll start sending out a parade of maidens, undoubtedly. And let me get a couple of thoughts. We've got a couple of names. Our friend John in New York, who is manages to find every under-the-radar two-year-old in the country. Storm River.
Storm River, very nice two-year-old, probably make the end of the meet here. But Midnight Loot out of Amera, I trained, called Len Dundo. You know, very good looking. Not right away. He's got a ways to go to be ready to run. But you know, I love Midnight Loot.
Now, and Midnight Loot in the midst of a career kind of move as a stallion, things all kind of coming together. Tarazi.
Tarazi is a three-year-old maiden filly. We'll bring her out on the turf probably in the next book.
So the second half of the meet.
Very nice.
Nice. Sig Alert.
Sig Alert, that'll be our first two-year-old runner in about a week. The Street Sense colt, bought in Ocala. Very well named, you know, Street Sense. And Sig Alert's a learned on the freeway, so it's got a great name, and he looks very smart, so we're excited to get him going.
I want to ask you about a lightly raced horse who happens to be a New York bred in your barn, and it's Colonel Power, and two board hits and two starts. I will use the opportunity to mention Asa Espinoza. And John, obviously you've had a wonderful working relationship with Victor. What's your latest update this morning about how he's doing?
Well, he's the apprentice, and he's improving quickly. He worked for Hollendorfer for several years, and they're stabled next to us, so I've been watching him as he was getting ready to ride. Nice young man. Rode some pretty good winners for us up there at Los Alamitos. And then a little bit of probably saddler history. I rode a horse for me yesterday. It was 70-1 that won. I don't think I've ever had a horse pay $150. So he's got a good chance to be the leading apprentice around here, no question about that.
Well, that was Kenton Road yesterday, and one of the more amazing things you'll ever see at a racetrack. You had a $150 winner, I think a $60 winner, and a $30 winner. No carryover.
Yeah, figure that.
Only in California.
I thought for sure there was a carryover.
Oh, well, undoubtedly. I mean, when that second, when the $60 horse won, I thought, oh, okay, the carryover Wednesday. But apparently three singles and three alls, a $2,800 ticket that brings back $120,000 with the bonus.
Wow.
But, John, what about Victor? And the, what are you hearing from this morning after the incident and apparently a vertebrae crack?
Well, I mean, we're all very concerned. You know, I think big picture he's going to be fine. I don't really want to get talking about his medical stuff because I haven't really spoken to his agent yet. I'll be talking to him later on this morning. So he's going to be out for a little while. I think it's, you know, it's a vertebrae up in his neck. But, you know, I don't know beyond that. You know, they're all calling in to ride Accelerate, that's for sure. But, you know, we'll take that. We'll get a little more info on that. Big good news is he's going to be okay. So anytime you have a scary incident like that, it really sets you back. But I'll get more on that later on today.
Very good. Let's round out the conversation with John Sadler and talk about what's coming up this week, and that includes going ahead to Wednesday. You've got Aiden's Dream for Costa. This is a Wildcat Air gelding, a five-year-old, been kind of well-traveled.
Yeah, he's been around. You know, he ran well at Santa Anita behind the ill-fated Abu Dhabi, and then he went to Oakland. Maybe didn't love Oakland, but came back and ran a good third for us, and really trained well since then. So we're in an extremely aggressive allowance race on Wednesday, but we're anxious to give him a shot. The horse is really training super, so we're kind of excited. I'm very excited to see him run on Wednesday. Also got 20/20 vision in the Cougar. He was second behind Opportunity last time in the mile and a half race. So that's always a good race. We've won that a couple of times, I believe. And then on Saturday, Bing Crosby will probably go with maybe Edwards going left in St. Joe's Bay in that one. So
very nice.
We're in here down here to run. We're here 6 weeks, so we're not going to sit on our hands.
No, and already paying off handsomely over Saturday and Sunday, four winners, two graded stakes, $150 winner out of eight runners. John, always a pleasure, and continued success through the meet. I got a feeling we'll talk several times, and I got to tell you, I'll do some politicking for, I'm sure Martin Panza has you on auto dial, Mike Lakow and Andrew Byrne, you've probably heard from all three. We'd love to see Accelerate come here for the Whitney. That would be really
well,
fun.
I love all of those guys. You know, Panza was our guy in Hollywood for a million years. And Andrew, if there's a better guy in racing than Andrew, I don't know who he is. He's outstanding. So they're already talking to me, and I'll get back to them shortly. And I'd just like to say good morning to Costa, Stephanie, Pete, everybody up there in Delano. wear a hat. It's hot up there.
I love it. And the Aronis clan with lots of opportunity at Oceanside. And looking forward, John, we'll probably catch up with Costa. They should come to Saratoga. When was the last time they were here?
I got to go, Steve.
Go ahead, John Sadler, everybody. And I could keep talking to him for the rest of the show. But it would be really cool to get Team Aronis to come to Saratoga for the Whitney. And that would look awfully nice on the Sadler resume and on the Aronis Racing trophy case, a Whitney trophy. Rain coming down here now after we had dodged the early morning bullets and we had some sunshine. We'll have a ray of sunshine and a beer. Next, Mike Beer is going to join us for the Daily Racing Forum. Couldn't get on with us on Friday. We'll get Mike's opening weekend thoughts and then get a look from his perspective at the pick six sequence. 69,000. So got to figure another close to 300 probably. And actually, it's a Monday, so it should get most of the, I'd say mid 400s for this pick six today at Saratoga, and haven't looked to see how the off-turf scratches affected these fields. There was a smattering of MTOs, and the fifth race should be okay. There were five MTOs there. Two MTOs in the fourth. So we'll see. And we'll get a stakes glance as well from Mike Beer. Daily Racing Forum's New York lead handicapper joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break race horses, we build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our racehorse...